and start talking about basically the history. The attitude of Israel is what I've been trying to get across. The attitude of Israel trying to make a king. It's amazing to me if you look through the history, and we've gone over a little bit of it. I don't have time to go into all of it. But if you look into the Lord painstakingly took Israel out of Egypt, that place of bondage, the type of the world, the type of bad things, the type of they were weeping and wailing, the type of where it was terrible. They couldn't get away from their taskmasters. And then God. Then God sent a man, and you know the 10 plagues came, and he removed Israel with a mighty hand, even looting Egypt before they left. Wonderful, great exodus that they had. And then they get to this point in their life where they say, God, make us a king. I'm going to just give you a thought here, and then we'll pray. We make no apology for the simple fact that we realize that we are all sinners. I hope you understand that there is not one person, not one, apart from Jesus Christ, that has ever walked this earth that is any better than anybody else ever. There's no way that you can say that a man is better than anybody else. This is my thought. I wonder if God, how much God was grieved here when he looked down and saw Israel and saw God, the man that they anointed king, all these little pieces of dust and dirt trying to exalt another piece of dust and dirt to be better than another piece of dust and dirt. When you go through your life, it'll be a lot easier for you to understand if you realize that the ground truly is level at the foot of the cross. It'll be a lot easier for you to get through your life if you come to a realization of a very simple truth. You are a sinner. And then come to another very important truth. So is everybody else. Now that does not give us the liberty to be sinners. That does not give us the liberty. I had a person tell me, well, how in the world can you preach against sin? You're a sinner. That's what I'm called to do. Yes, I'm a sinner. You better believe I'm a sinner. I'm foremost of the sinners. And what you must understand is the vast majority of preachers, when they get up to preach before you, are preaching to themselves long before they're preaching to you. I understand I'm a sinner. I understand that I've got this flesh that I would to God I could get rid of, but until I go to heaven or until the Lord comes, I literally am going to have it. I can't get away from it. I would to God that I could get away from it. I would to God that I could come out from this sinful nature that I have, that this wretched man. I would to God that I could, but I can't. And in the meantime, I'm going to shout out from the housetops against sin. I'm going to shout out against it, not that I have none, but because I am one. That's good preaching. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to teach Sunday school. It's amazing to me, Lord, that you let us live. I'm just going to be honest with you, Lord. It's amazing that you let us live. Lord, we need your mercy. We need your grace, and I'm so thankful that you're full of it. I'm so thankful that you're constantly helping us and giving us breaks and the benefit of a couple of million doubts. Lord God, I thank you so much for how great you are. You love us. We don't need to ask that question if you love us, Lord. We spend 6 seconds in your Bible, and we realize how much you love us. Lord, you've done everything for us. Everything. I would to God that we could, through this teaching, realize who we are and praise you for who you are. Lord, be with me today. Help me. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You must understand something. We talked a little bit last week, and I will get into 1 Samuel. That's where we're going to be turning to. I've gotten to the point where the Lord told Samuel, let them have their way. And I must caution you here, when I got to reading this, just because the Lord gave them their desire to no longer, understand this now, and I think I've spelled this out pretty well, but this is what I keep coming back to when I start to study the Kings. Israel rejected God. Then they wanted a king. To get you a king, to get you a man, to get you, and I don't care, listen, that works today, brother. To get you a man where you're willing to exalt you a man over top of God, you've rejected God first. You rejected the one that delivered you out of the bounds of sin and hell. If you're saved in here today and you know the Lord is your Savior, you're rejecting God if you want to uphold a man. That's the way it is. That's the way it works. You can't do it any other way. You must forsake him first before you choose a man. What they did in Israel, they decided, we want somebody we can see. That's what it was. We want somebody we can see. Now, how in the world hard is it to see God winning battles for you? But what happens in the Christian walk is we fail to see him winning. We fail to see the wonderful little miracles that God does in our life. We fail to see the wonderful little things that God does and the wonderful little things that God does for us all the way through our lives. We fail to see. We say, well, we did that, or that it's just circumstantial, or it's just coincidence that this happened. I tell you something, Christian. I would to God we see those coincidences a little bit more as God's hand in our life. God's led you here today. It's no accident that you're here. It's no accident that you've come to church. It's no accident that Bethel Baptist Church is here. It's no accident that Pastor Skyver is your preacher. It's no accident that I'm here. I know you wish to God it was an accident, but it's no accident that I'm here. It's no accident that you've come. It's no accident that you're holding that old King James Bible in your hand. It's no accident that it's being preached this morning. What you must understand is all of those things are wonderful little miracles that God has done in your life for you. But we refuse to see that. We say, it's us that got up this morning. Oh, I hate my alarm clock. I do. I would to God it would blow up. I don't like my alarm clock. But I know God gets me up to do what I do. I know God brought me here this morning. But by the grace of God, there go I. I don't want man to take the place of God. I don't want it. That's why we worry so much about what's in the White House. We worry so much. Why? Because we want a man to do it. I want God to do it. Because if man's involved, it's going to go wrong. Let's have God do something great. Well, revival can't come in these last days. Hogwash. God's hands are never tied. So you look at this and they grab their king. And what you must understand is this. Just because God gave them their desire did not make it a good thing for them. Hey, listen. You might be praying for something and praying for something and praying for something. And after a while, you decide, you know what? I'm going to take matters into my own hands. God may give you what you're wanting, but that does not make what you're wanting right. Well, God gave it to me. God gave it to you because you're spoiled brat. He got tired of hearing you. He said, all right, I'll give you what you want. But it didn't make it good. And after a while, I think Israel got a hold of that. All throughout the scriptures, you're going to see throughout these kings that Israel had to finally come to repentance in sackcloth and ashes and loss of life and all these bad things happened in their nation before they finally turned back to God. I'm asking you a question, Christian. Where do you think America is right now? We are going through all these things. We're rejecting God. We're rejecting Christ. We're rejecting his word. We're rejecting all the desires that he would have and replacing him with the desires we have. And God has given us what we want. This is what we're asking for. But that does not make it good for us. What you need to ask for, Christian, is God's will for you. What does God want for your life? Because everything else is vanity. They asked for a king and God gave them one. But that did not make it good for Israel. God never wanted them to have a king. God wanted to be their king. It's sad when we choose other things over God. It's sad when we literally ask for anything over what God wants. Because we're rejecting him and choosing what we want. That's what happened here. It's not like they never saw a miracle. It's not, I don't care how long back it was in their history, it was there. But I'm going to be honest with you. The Bible says so then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says in the scripture here that they wanted a man that's going to lead us into battle. We want a man like everybody else has. I love that. And I parked there for a minute last week, and I'm just going to take one more second to reiterate. I don't want what everybody else has. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be real honest. If you're a winner, why would you want to run around telling everybody you're a loser? I got to be honest, I don't want what everybody else has. I live in a country that's the greatest country in the whole wide world. Why do I need to apologize for that? Why do I want to go around and say, America's really not that great? Well, you know, I feel bad for all the atrocities that have happened throughout the world. I'm going to apologize. Hogwash. I'm an American. Amen. Here's the thing. Israel, I'm led by God. I don't want what everybody else has. I don't want what all those other, I don't want what the Syrians have. I don't want what all these other people have, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Perizzites. I don't want what they have. We've got God. Amen. Why do we want a man king? I don't need a man king. I've got God. Hey, listen, you don't need to have men telling you what to do. Listen to God once. Now, I understand. Well, should I listen to the preacher? As long as he's in the Bible. Because what you got to understand is this. We've got God's word. If it doesn't, Bobby and I went to visit this lady yesterday, and boy, she ran around the circles, man. We were just trying to follow her around the mulberry bush. And I say, listen, lady. You better want what God wants. Spiritualistic. She went a spiritualistic life. Spiritualistic. I said, hey, I agree. God is a spirit that can get inside of you and make you feel great and all this other stuff. But if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it ain't God. The Holy Spirit's real, Christian. Believe that. The Holy Spirit, and by the way, that's a power we very seldom tap into. We're afraid to be labeled charismatic and all that. Listen, we were shouting long before the charismatics were. What you must understand is this. I want what God wants. But if it doesn't line up with Scripture, listen to me now, then it is not what God wants. God has given you a wonderful guide. And if it doesn't line up with that, don't think that it's God doing it. With all that being said, they chose themselves a man. Now, God anointed this man. He anointed him through Samuel. And I want you to see a few things. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. They had just gotten through going through all the tribes and showing the people, listen, it comes from the tribe of Benjamin, comes from this and this and this and this, and it fell on Saul as their king. And look, in verse 17, the Bible says, and Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I like this. God does, he never, ever, ever tucks tail. God never does. Look at what he says here. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all kingdoms and of them that oppressed you. I did that, said God. And ye have this day rejected your God. He's telling the people this at the inauguration of their king. Look at this now. Who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken, when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. God, make us a king that'll go before us and fight for us. The next verse says, therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. God, give us a man. God, give us a man and lead us forth into battle. God, we want a man. God, we got to have somebody that's tough.
God, we got to have somebody that we can look to. God, we have to have somebody that's our leader. I would to God preachers were the leaders. I'm going to be honest with you. I really do. I would to God you'd get some old, broke, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher to go be president of the United States. Boy, that'd shake things up, wouldn't it? I would to God that your president would walk into the place and say, "Thus saith the Lord God." I would to God he'd walk into the courthouses and say, "Hey, God said the Ten Commandments. Let's put them back up." I would, they put it in granite for a reason. Hey, listen, I would to God we'd go around and read some of the monuments we got down there in Washington, D.C. Talk all about God. Hey, we weren't founded on God. Hey, we weren't founded on God. We were founded on God.
Amen.
This country was not founded on great men. Although some of those men, that found our founding fathers were good men. No doubt about it. Don't you let anybody tell you different. By the way, in public schools today, they're teaching that George Washington really wasn't who he said he was. They're teaching that Benjamin Franklin was a philanderer. They're teaching that Thomas Jefferson was a man with 800 concubines. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. Don't you let the public schools tell you that. Don't you let them tell you that. They're not only wanting to change American history, they've been wanting to change God's history for a long time. You let man have control. This is what you get. God's trying to tell him that. And the first instance, here's your king. He doesn't show up. Where is he? He's hiding. The old haggard preacher, the old leather lung preacher, wrinkly old preacher gets up there and says, "Thus saith the Lord God. You rejected God. Here's your man." And he's hiding. Isn't that about right? Isn't that about right? Look at what happens now. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. He was a tall fella. Well, tall compared to whoever else was there. He was head and shoulders above the rest. You ever wonder where that saying came from? There you go. He was head and shoulders above the rest. People from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." You look at this and you say, "Well, the Lord picked him." You bet he did. Listen, what happens when the sinners are in control? The people mourn. What happens when the righteous rule? See, what you got to understand is this. Just because they asked for a king and God gave them a king did not mean that it was the greatest king for the people. It was the king that God gave them to say, "Hey, if you don't want me, this is who you get." Hey, listen, America. Hey, you can say what you want to. I know last week I had some people come to preach, "You ought not preach about politics." Listen, the preachers ought to keep on preaching about politics. You stay with me long enough, I'll write you a letter. You stay with me long enough, I'll talk to you all about our president. I'm not afraid of that. Brother, these days you're going to end up in jail. Bring on the bars, brother. I'm not stopping preaching. I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm not going to tuck tail about what's happening to my nation. I'm not excited about the fact that we've rejected God and chose us a man. I'm not happy about that. And by the way, last week I showed you the verses where the Lord told Samuel, "You protest." That's what the scripture says. You protest. They're going to get their king, but Samuel, I want the man of God to stand up and protest what they're doing. See, we can't stop it. I would to God we could. I would to God whatever we said happened. Boy, wouldn't that be fun? If that was the case, I'd have a Harley in the garage that had my name on it. But we can't do that. But God's word now, get mad or get glad, these preachers in this church are going to preach what the Bible says. Yes. Thus saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord. I'm not concerned about what you say. I'm not concerned about what I say. I'm concerned about what God has to say.
And just because they got their man, just because we got our man, change, hope. I hope there's a change soon, I'll tell you that. Just because of that, and by the way, and I'm done with this, I promise. The change is not going to come from the White House. The change is not going to come from politicians. I know we preach that a lot, but it's not going to come from there. It's going to come from your house and come into God's house and listening to preaching and what God has to say. Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." Let me ask you a question. I wanted to stop here for this. What were the characteristics that made Saul so worthy for the job? He was tall. He was tall. That's who he chose? He's tall. Now listen, God anointed him because I think Saul was the guy that God wanted to show the people, "You should choose me." But Saul was tall. God save the king. Everybody's taller than me. God save the king. Do you know? Listen to me now. I want you to see the heart of the people here. Were the people concerned about anything except the fact that they could get a man to lead them in battle? And by the way, Samuel, I read to you the verses a couple weeks ago on what God said was going to happen with their king, what he was going to do. And he did it, by the way. They chose him and they loved him because he was bigger than everybody else. Well, we should be electing offensive linemen. Listen, God save the king. How about God save Israel from their king? How about we choose you, God? Now, I want to show you something else. And this is I'm going to skip over to chapter 12. Samuel, he was up in age when Saul was put in, because you remember that his sons were doing wrong and Samuel was getting old. You remember how I absolutely flipped out about the elderly folk last week? I'm going to say this one more time. You better hold on to your old people. You better hold on to your old people, because that's where wisdom is. That's where wisdom is. You say what you want to, little whippersnapper. That's where it's at. The wisdom of the old, you need to put into you. I learned a long time ago, man, I thought I had it all figured out. 22, 23, 24, what do I need the old people for? Right? Let me tell you something, I don't know anything. The older I get, the less I know. I need the old people. I need the gray-headed. I got to have your wisdom, because listen, we're screwing it up. I've got to have the old paths. I've got to have the old ways. I've got to have the old thoughts. The people came to Sam and said, "Hey, you're getting up in age and your boys aren't doing right. How about this? Hey, Samuel, could you go chastise your boys, because we need you to lead?" Amen. Huh? Amen. See, what you got to understand is this. They rejected God. They rejected God's man. And yes, I think he should have taken care of his boys. If I start messing up, he better come down on me. Amen. I'm not kidding you. He bet. And by the way, he doesn't let me get away with nothing. Trust me, he's brought me out with a mighty hand too, I'll tell you that. Listen, I've got to have him over top of me. I've got to have his help and direction. I've got to have that. Why? Because I'm a young man that needs help from these old-time preachers. I don't want to get out there and all of a sudden turn my back on the King James Bible because I wasn't taught right. I've got to hear what they've got to say. I've got to have that in my heart. But these people had long since turned on Samuel. Samuel's given a farewell address. Listen to this now, chapter 12, verse 1. "And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you." He's making sure that they understand, I have hearkened unto what you wanted, not what I wanted, what you wanted, not what God wanted, what you wanted. "And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith, and I will restore it you." He's saying, blame me. Have I done anything in my ministry that you... That's why preachers have a glass box that they live in.
It's no fun. See, what you got to understand is everything that a preacher does is magnified. Everything. And Samuel's saying, have I done anything? Is there anything that you can hold against me? The people say, no. Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and is anointed as witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses. Listen to this now. You need to get the attitude of Samuel as opposed to the attitude of the people. They just asked for a king. They got their king, and this is his attitude. Listen to Samuel. He said to the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord did that. They didn't have a king. They didn't have a king. They had Moses that led them as a prophet, as a preacher. That man led them, but it was God that was leading Moses. Listen, it wasn't a king of a man that parted the Red Sea. It wasn't a king or a man that had all those plagues bestowed on Egypt. It was not a man. It was God. Miracles do not come from men. Amen. Man, that's good stuff. I don't even know where I'm at. Oh, there it is. Now, therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. The righteous acts. When Jacob was come into Egypt and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgat the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And look at verse 10. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord. He just told the people this in an address, in his farewell address. He's telling them again, you have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. That's a pretty powerful statement coming from a Pharaoh. I can see that old man just spitting right there. You think these guys stood up there all pious and delivering a message like the Pope? Hogwash. This man was spitting right here, I guarantee. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen. Now listen. He's sitting there. He's sitting there. And Samuel's saying, you're doing wrong by putting a king over you when God should be your king. He's sitting there. If I was Saul, I'd be repenting. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. If you do right, God's going to help you. Real easy. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. Wouldn't that be something? Hey, listen. Preacher stands up here one day and says, man, I know you're sinning. And this is what we're doing, church. We're doing wrong. And God's going to show you your wickedness by sending a thunderstorm through here right now. And all of a sudden, you'd be afraid too. Is God real? He must be real. Can I help you? He's real. I don't need to see a thunderstorm to know God's real. These people, how quickly we forget what the great things that God has done. How quickly we forget the great things that God has done for us. How quickly. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. The king's there.
We have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. We shouldn't have done it. Can I ask you a question? Did they undo it? Huh? We know we're wrong. Oh, this is good. I hope you're listening this morning. We know we're wrong. But Saul still was king. We know we ought to follow God. But Saul is still who they chose. We know we ought to do right. But they still determined to do wrong. God make us a king. As long as that king ain't you. I'm glad you're quiet this morning. Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people." Oh, that is so good. You see the crushing blows that Samuel delivered, one after the other, letting the people see their wickedness. And look at verse 22. "For the Lord will not forsake his people." Why won't he forsake his people? "For his great name's sake. Because it hath pleased the Lord." Can you imagine this? Look, do you see? Get the gravity of this last statement in this verse. "It hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me," this is his farewell address, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way." And here it is. In a nutshell, here it is. Only fear the Lord. I don't care what you tell me. I'm only going to fear the Lord. I'm not going to fear what you can do to me. I'm not going to fear what men can do to me. I'm going to fear the Lord. That's what the Bible says. "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart." I'm not talking about serving him with the drums and the electric guitars. I'm not talking about serving him with tambourines. I'm not talking about serving him on Facebook. I'm not talking about serving him in all the other ways that these spiritualists think they can serve. Serve him in truth. Do what the Bible says. "For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your tall king." Here's what you got to understand this, and then I'm all done. They put a king over them that was head and shoulders above the rest. God gave them that king. God gave them the king because of what they deserved. It's what they were asking for. It's what they desired. So God gave it to them. I'm telling you these things. I want you to choose God today. I want you to choose God. I want you to choose his words, his command. That's what I want you to do. I want you to choose God over everything else. Choose God. Even when you don't, though, God is always there for his great name's sake to love you, and he'll never forsake you. He's always waiting. I'm so glad of that, because I'm going to tell you, day after day after day, I add sin to that rebellion. Day after day after day, I choose things over God. Day after day after day, because I'm a sinner, and I told you that right in the beginning. I am a sinner, and there's times when I don't do what God wants me to do, but God is always there. You can take great joy in the fact that God loves you. But listen, you put a man up above you. You put a man and follow him. And I don't care who, I don't care if it's some mamby, pamby, sissy, wissy preacher that you think is the greatest thing ever, gives you $5 million words, and you say, "Wow, he must be the most intelligent man ever." Listen to me. John the Baptist says, "Repent." Yeah. Amen. Right. Jonah says, "In 8 or whatever days it was, you shall be destroyed." Listen, they didn't use $8 words. They said, just tell them what God says. And listen to me. What happens is this. We look at men and we hold them up. And listen to me. When we look at men and hold them up, we do wickedly. And believe me, you and your king will be consumed. Man will not deliver you. Man never did do any delivering. It was always God. And in Samuel's farewell address, we're starting the kings. Here comes the kings.
You follow God, did it ever change? Can I ask you, did it ever change? When they came out of Egypt and they were following God, the rules were the same. You follow God, I'll take care of you. You go away from God, I won't take care of you. You got to understand, I want you to follow me, follow me, follow me. All throughout the time, follow me. Now they have a king over them. They have a man to lead them. Follow me, because if you don't follow me, I don't care who you put as king, you will not succeed. Follow me. That's what God wants them to do. That's what God wants you to do today. Don't you worry about setting a man over you. You set God over you. You said yes, and God has a man for you. That man sitting in the front row right here. He's the pastor of this church. He's your under-shepherd. He's the one. And he, by the way, he's yours. I hope you know that. God had a man for you. Here he is. Don't go looking around for another one. You're not going to find him. Why? Because he's here sitting in the front row for you. God is, I'm not ashamed to say that. God is a man for you. By the way, I'm the associate pastor for you, like that. As crazy as that sounds. Hey, listen, God wants to help us. But because we keep turning our back and setting men, setting things, letting God not be held up, letting everything else be held up. Hold up God. Do what God says. God, make us a king. Let's change that over. Let's change that over today. God, we want to make you king. We want to make you king. We'll get into the history of Saul next week. He's crazy. Some of the things he does is amazing to me. Come on back, please. What a good crowd today. Let's have a good day today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. Your word is so rich and so full and so easy to understand. Follow you over and over and over. You sound out the battle cry. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Lord, if we would just take those words and use them, follow you. Don't make man king. Don't make anything else king but you. Lord, let us not reject you today, but let us hold on to you, Lord. Let us realize that you've got something wonderful for us, and it's called your will. I would to God that we'd hold on to that. Lord, let us make you king. Lord, anoint my pastor this morning. It's so good to have him here. I'm glad you've healed him up enough to come. I don't believe he's completely healed, Lord, but we need him to be. He's our preacher. He's the one that you gave us. And Lord, please, let us follow your word and preach mightily through our preacher this morning. Oh God, it's so good to have him back. Lord, please anoint the biker run this afternoon. Lord, I pray that you keep the rain away. Lord, you can do all things. Lord, please let us have the rain kept away so we can have the bikers all come and we can preach your word to them out underneath that pavilion and have more of them get saved. Lord, anoint all the services today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.